This is a duplication tape of Mr. Taff Lerl interview, tape 1, side A, duplicating from a 90-minute to a 60-minute tape.
Is going or not? Oh yeah, it is. It's got to
be. Yeah, the red light, I guess, means it's going.
This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. I'm about to interview Mr. Taff Lerl. My name is Bernice Sam. Mr. Lerl, or shall I call you Taff, to make it short? Where were you born, Taff?
I was born in Los Angeles, California.
When?
1909, March the 30th.
So do you remember your birthplace?
Yes, I certainly do. It was at 903 South Olive Street in a Victorian house. Had two stories. In a nice backyard, and from our front porch we could see the old May Company, which at that time was called Hamburgers Department Store.
Did you have any Chinese neighbors?
No Chinese neighbors that I knew around there. All seemed to be Caucasian.
Where did your parents come from, Taff?
My parents came from Canton, China.
Oh, which part of Canton? Well, Samyup or Seyup?
Samyup. It's Gumjuk.
Gumjuk, oh yeah.
Sundup.
Oh, Sundup, I see. So what did your father do when he was in America?
He was a Chinese herb doctor.
Did he come over with your mother?
No, he came over previous to my mother, and then after he was established, he went back and brought her here. I think they came here in the late 1800s, my father did.
And ever since, did he ever go back to China for a visit after he came?
He came and brought my mother back. That was probably still in the 1800s. And then he went back in 1920, around 1920, for a visit.
Did your father stay with the herb business all his life?
All the time. It was herb business, no other business.
But was it a very popular Chinese business at that time, being
herbalist?
Yes,
there were quite a few Chinese herbalists at that time.
Did he have American patients, or Chinese,
yes,
or mixed?
Yes, all his patients were American, Caucasian.
So at home, what kind of language or languages do you people speak?
Well, when my parents spoke to us, they usually spoke Chinese. But brothers and sisters, we naturally would speak English. But we could understand both. But later on, when we became old enough, say 10 or 12, my father hired a tutor who would come to the house for 2 or 3 hours twice a week, say. But we never learned much that way. So finally, when we went to junior high, in the afternoons, we would have to go to Chinatown to attend the Chinese school there, modern Chinese school. That started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and ended at 8 o'clock in the evening for 6 days a week. And I remember that was quite a hardship on the three of us, when my brother, two brothers, and I attended this Chinese school every day. And then at we'd come home and have to do our American homework. So our days were very well filled.
But even though you didn't like to go to Chinese school, you brothers still went to school.
Oh, yeah, we
because
had to
your
go.
Parents said so.
They made us go.
Did you ever regret it, having gone
no,
to Chinese school?
No, not at all. We regret that we didn't try harder, because later on in life we realized that we missed out. We could have learned a lot more.
Now, back to your early schooling. When you were in elementary school, which school did you go to?
I went to the 10th Street School on, it was on Union Avenue. Near Union Avenue and 10th Street. It's a little grammar school.
Do you remember something about the teachers? Were they Caucasians
yes.
or
yes,
blacks
I remember
or
the
Chinese?
Teachers. They were all Caucasian. And the principal took an especial interest in the three of us, the three boys. It's William, Howard, and Taft. I was Taft. I had two other brothers named William Howard, named after the president, William Howard Taft.
Oh.
And she would get visitors from the superintendent's office, you know, the principal. And she would call us from our classrooms and to meet these different people from the school board and some important friends of hers. And she seemed to be very proud of us for some reason.
You must have
always
been,
showed us off.
You must have been very good students.
We were pretty good. My sisters were really good students. Louise Larson was one of the good students. She's already been interviewed.
Uh-huh. I have never met her.
No, but I think Sue Ellen went to talk to her.
Then at school, did you find any problem with other students, like just because you are Chinese, anything like that?
Yes, I did. But I found more people that would be helpful to me. Maybe the one or two would be some nasty, but call you names or something or make fun of you, but most of them would stick up for me. They'd come and say that, well, I remember clearly one time when some of the boys would say, well, the Chinese people were very well civilized and your people were still up in the trees. And they'd come to my defense. So I had both, but mostly I got very good treatment and very good friends.
Now then, later on you went to junior high or high school.
Yes.
Did you have the same nice treatment with other students?
Yes, I think it gradually got better as I got older and the people were more educated. It was mostly the uneducated people who were prejudiced, seems like.
Then you told me you went on to L.A. High School.
Yes, went to L.A. High School.
At that time, were there lots of minority students there?
There were about five of us Chinese who were very close together, were relatives or old friend, family friends. There were a lot of Japanese students there. But at that time, it wasn't many minorities at Los Angeles High School.
Would you say about 90% were Caucasians then at
oh,
that
yes.
time?
Oh, yes. Yes, about 90%.
Then after high school, where did you go?
Then I went
at?
To USC.
Did you like USC?
Oh, very much. I liked that very much.
Did you have lots of friends there?
Yes, lots of friends, Chinese and American friends. But during my childhood, I had very many American friends because we had moved from Olive Street to Pico Street, and that was away from Chinatown. And we grew up with Caucasian kids. And my very close friends were American children, boys, all the way through from junior high on through high school. I had mostly American friends, but then in college I met more Chinese people.
Yes. What did you take up at college, Taft?
I started out in chemistry, and then I found I didn't care much for chemistry, and I changed to accounting. I majored in accounting, and then I took the full course in accounting. And then my father passed away. I think it was 1932, so I couldn't continue my college course at the university campus. So I went to night school to complete all the accounting requirements.
So after, did you finally graduate from?
No, I never graduated. I just completed my accounting studies, and then the Depression made it very hard. It was a big family, and we all had to get out and work.
And after that, what was your first job or jobs?
My first job in accounting was in 1935, in April. There was a meat company, wholesale meat company, called the Newport Meat Company, and it was Chinese owned. And for some reason, their books were all balled up. The person who took care of the books knew nothing about the bookkeeping. And they had been in business about a year, and they didn't know anything, whether they were making money or losing money. And an old family friend of ours recommended me to take over that job. I was totally inexperienced. I just got out of several couple of years out of college, but I took the job over, and with what I learned from school, I was able to progress, and the company gradually progressed, and they went into a bigger building and bought their own trucks and everything, and they became pretty big.
Is that Newport Meat Company still in existence?
No, when they were located in their brand new building on the east side of town, and then the freeway, Santa Monica Freeway came, and they were swallowed up. The whole place was bought up, condemned, and they went out of business.
So did you have a difficult time looking for another job?
No. During all my life, I had other jobs like restaurants. And finally, the war came along, World War II. And I went in with the produce business and the accounting end. That's when I started to work pretty hard, and then I got a lot of other jobs on the side besides the produce job. And then after a while, after the war, I met an old friend who managed the Phelps Turkell clothing store at the University of Southern California, and he asked me if I wanted to take care of his books. He was going to open up a new store, and I said sure. So I went down to his place on 6th Street and Ollie. That's right across from Pershing Square. And he had a small store there, and he opened it up. And after 2 or 3 years, it became very successful, and he expanded it, another 2 stores. And then in the 50s, he expanded further, and he made me treasurer and secretary and treasurer of the corporation.
So you have been quite successful with whatever you attempted to do all these years, Taft.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, what other jobs have you worked on other than just accounting or bookkeeping?
No other jobs.
I see.
Of course, when my father passed away, I closed up his herb business, you know, gradually.
Then, excuse me.
No other jobs.
Then all these years of your young life,
mm-hmm.
Did you go to Chinatown often?
Oh, yes, we did, quite often.
About how often? With the
family? Suppose I start way from my childhood. My father used to go there quite often just to visit with some of the merchants there. He'd make me go along with him. I didn't like it at all because they were all old men and I was just 5 or 6 years old. But he would drag me there and I'd sit there and they'd talk and talk and talk. And then he'd go from one store to another and talk some more. It was very boring to me. But I think my father was very, he was very proud of his boys, his son. So he made us go along for that reason. And then when I was got a little older, things changed, and then he took us out for moving picture theaters, plays, concerts, and that way we broadened our education, because he was very enthusiastic about education. In fact, his home was open to all the students at the university.
Whose home, Ted?
My father's home,
mm-hmm.
on Pico Street. It was kind of a social gathering for the all the Chinese students who went to USC. Every Friday, I think every Friday and last, I forgot, once a month on Friday, the club, the Chinese Students Club, would meet at our home, you know, their regular meeting. And my sister, Lily, and Louise, who were at that time attending school, would host these meetings. And afterwards, they would have a little social hour.
So back to Chinatown at that time. Do you remember what Chinatown looked like when you were a little boy?
I remember when I was going there, there was Marchesal Street, Apple Plaza, that were not paved. And when it rained, we used to drive down there and the cars would slide around in the mud. Very dilapidated. But there were few restaurants there. I remember one that had a banquet place upstairs. It was very dilapidated even then, but the only Chinese restaurant in town, all of them were the same. They were all rather decrepit, but still there were Chinese restaurants and we patronized them. Then they had the regular banquet food, from the shark fin soup right on up through the whole 8 or 9 courses. I remember there was cherry farlow, and there was manjun. And then on San Pedro Street, there was Lim's Cafe, and Dongginglo on the First Street. We patronized all of them. Once a week, my father would get put us all in the car, and we'd drive out to the beach or out to Pomona, away the east side, and then we'd come back for dinner, and we'd eat at one of these restaurants.
Now, do you recall at that time there were a lot more Chinese men in Chinatown than women?
Even when I was a boy, there were mostly men. We had hard trouble getting girlfriends. There were very few girls for the boys. Yes, that's true. There were men, it was mostly men.
Why was that, do you recall?
Well, I guess because they were excluded from coming over from China, for one thing. And they had no chance to raise families.
So, all right, back to your own self now.
All right.
When did you get married?
I got married in 1937 here in Los Angeles.
Where did you meet Mrs. Leon?
Well, she was going to church at in Chinatown, and I met her there, and that's how I knew her.
And do you have a family of children?
I have two children, yes. One boy and one girl.
They're all grown.
They're all grown, yes.
Out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you were born right in Los Angeles. Have you ever been back to China?
I have never been
back
to China, no. Almost, but not quite. I was once all set to go. Me and my two brothers. But we were all slated to go to the, you know, Lingnan. Have you heard of that school?
Where?
In China.
Oh, yes.
Well, we were all just about set up and registered to go. And then the war, some kind of war broke out. So the man who said we better not go there, one of the teachers said it wouldn't be safe to go. So we didn't, never got there.
Now, in your life, you have associations with many Caucasians and all that. Do you feel in yourself that you are more Chinese or more American?
Well, I think I feel I'm more Chinese because that was hammered into us when we were children. And my father must have had a lot of pride in being Chinese, and he tried to make us all feel the same.
So did you ever feel sorry for being a Chinese?
No, I don't think so. Maybe when the kids used to tease me when I was very young, but I got over that.
Did you ever disagree with your family about being a Chinese or American?
No. Sometimes the Americans would be talking to all of us as a family, and then the American would say, point to me and say, you're an American. But I never felt that way.
Now then, at home, should anyone get sick, did you go for Chinese or Western medicine?
Chinese. My father always took care of us.
And there was absolutely no need to go for American medicine at all that
No.
you remember of?
No.
Then at home, did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food, like, you know, something they say
Yeah.
is good for your back, something
Yeah,
good?
Yeah, sure, we used to have that.
What kind, for instance?
Well, like this ginseng, that wasn't for the kids, but that was for older people. But we had all these other health foods, these Chinese soups with made out of herbs.
Now, is this thing, can you see this thing going?
Yeah, it is going.
It is going, all right, excuse me.
It's going.
All right.
We had all these Chinese herb soups.
Then whenever the family get together, what kind of recreational devices do you use? Do you play some kind of Chinese games?
Mahjong and chess.
Mahjong is really for grown-ups, but how about children?
Well, we learned that when we were going to junior high. I learned it in the 20s, so.
Did you play some kind of Chinese music?
No Chinese music, just American music. We all had to play an instrument. I played the trumpet. My sister played the piano. Another sister played the violin. And another brother played the drums, saxophone. We had enough people in the family to have a little family orchestra.
That's really very unusual at that time for the young people to learn an American musical instrument.
I'll tell you how that started. Way back in the early as maybe 1910 or 1912, my father heard, went to the vaudeville show, and he told me he heard a man play a cornet solo.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very much impressed, and he liked it very much. So he went out and bought himself a horn, and he took lessons. I remember hearing him play. He wasn't very good. So he said I should learn. And so he took me to a secondhand store and bought me an old cornet for, I think, about $10. And then he hired a teacher. And I became very proficient at it, all the way from grammar school. I played in the grammar school orchestra. I played in the junior high orchestra, high school, up to university. But that's when I ran into trouble. I was a very good player. In fact, I was good enough to give lessons. So we tried out for the USC band, you know, the football band. We thought we'd go in there and we could travel and see the games. So my friend, George Chan, he's deceased now, and I went off for the band. We both made it very easily. And after the audition, the next day we got a telegram from the school saying that we were accepted as musicians and members of the Trojan Band. And then a few days later, we got another notice that we were not accepted. And then we decided to find out what happened. So we found out that it was prejudice. The band was all white, no blacks.
And so that was at USC?
At USC.
About what year was that?
1927, 26.
And what did you do?
No, 1929. So I was in the Chinese club. I was president then. And so we held a meeting with the Chinese students. And we decided we should do something about it, make some kind of a protest. So I went along with George Chan and Dr. Ed Lee. He's now
the dentist.
The three of us went up to see Dr. Von Kleinsmith. He was the president of the university. And we talked to him. And he was very pompous. He's a very pompous man. And he said, look, suppose you had a band, all white, and then there were two people that stick out, you know. He even said that to us. So we said, well, we know what the reason is now. So that's it.
So you didn't go
anymore?
We
didn't want to go back, or we didn't try to go back anymore. Mm-hmm. But later on, about 3 years later, they did accept. And that was a bad experience, especially from a man so well known and respected as Dr. Von Kleinsmith. But we actually did get in to see him, get into his office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now then, did you people enjoy going to see the ball games or movies?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
What kind of ball games did you enjoy?
We enjoyed football, naturally, mostly, and basketball. We'd drive up to Berkeley and stand.
Continue to tape 1 Psi B.